Don't have enough time to sit down and read all the best Bitcoin articles? Well, let us read them for you. This is a Cryptoconomy Quick Read. All right, crew, welcome back to the Cryptoeconomy Podcast. I have got a short one today. This one's from Casa. I've mentioned it on the podcast, but if you weren't around at the time, the Casa node, the company Casa that does the wallet with the 3 of 5 multi-sig, they've got a really awesome key management system that they are selling to high-end customers right now and expanding and growing. They're becoming a big part of this space, like a really important piece of the ecosystem very quickly, I think, and they're differentiating themselves in the terms of security and sovereignty. So I've been really excited about this company and what they're going to do. Jameson Lopp is somebody I've been following for a while, Jeremy Welch. That whole crew is just, they've got some serious philosophy and building power behind them. So it's really exciting to see what they have coming out, and they have now released a Casa node. I was very quick to try to get one of the earliest orders in. Unfortunately, I am not apparently in the first batch. I will be in the second batch. So I am eagerly awaiting my full Bitcoin and Lightning Casa node. And in my excitement waiting for that, we are going to read about the features of the Casa node. Mostly because I want to talk about the new toy I just bought. But in addition, I really want to dig into the concept of the hardware and infrastructure that I think is going to be a part of this new ecosystem and why I think this is not, I think this is the beginning of a growing trend of hardware designed specifically around, and not even just hardware wallets, but hardware like dedicated devices and computers for key management and interacting with the Bitcoin and crypto ecosystem. So I will get into more on that later, but for now we'll jump right into the article by Casa on their Medium blog, and it is titled again, Features of the Casa Node. Autopilot, channel names, verify from scratch, and more. A little over a week ago, we announced the Casa node, a plug-and-play full node for Bitcoin and Lightning in an elegant design. We sold out of the first batch in just 1 hour, and all of the second batch by the end of the first day of sales. Today, we reveal 5 features of the Casa node made to bring you greater control and privacy while retaining a smooth plug-and-play experience. Feature number 1. Use autopilot or manual channels. It's hard to strike a balance between full control and ease of use. Some Lightning wallets today preload a set of channels for users. This is a feature known as autopilot. Autopilot makes it easier for you to get connected to the network and start making and receiving payments, but doesn't give you the precise control over your connection to the Lightning network. Casa node can use autopilot, but also has a manual mode that gives you precise control of how many channels are opened, who you connect to, and how much Bitcoin each channel holds. Feature number 2. Receive Lightning payments. Most Lightning wallets out there don't let you receive payments at this time. This is because those wallets aren't online 24/7, which makes them vulnerable to attacks when receiving payments. More on this in a Crypto 101 on Lightning coming soon. The Casa node, on the other hand, is designed to be online all the time, ensuring safety of your Lightning funds. Similar to a home router, the Casa node will auto-reboot if there are power interruptions. The node is working its magic in the background, so you don't have to. As long as there is power and an internet connection, you'll get to send and receive Bitcoin payments at the speed of Lightning from the comfort of your home. Feature number 3, private names for any channel. While experimenting with Lightning, we would occasionally forget why we created certain channels. We have solved this problem by adding a channel purpose feature, which privately adds a name to any channel so that you can keep better track. Channel purpose data lives only on your Casa node. It is never shared with anyone, retaining your full privacy. Feature number 4, validate from scratch. Today, the Casa node comes preloaded with a full copy of the Bitcoin blockchain. Casa has validated this copy up to the most recent blocks, saving you time and bandwidth when first setting up your Casa node. We understand, however, that some users want to verify the full Bitcoin history themselves. At Casa, our highest mission is to maximize personal sovereignty and safety, so making this independent validation possible and easy is essential. To that end, we added a validate from scratch feature. One click, and your Casa node will begin a full download and validation of Bitcoin's history from scratch. This could take over a month to sync from the Genesis block, but that doesn't matter for some of our clients. The Raspberry Pi's CPU is the bottleneck here when verifying the transaction history. This is why it only takes a few days on a full PC, but much longer on the Pi. Once up to date, it takes about a minute to process a new block. On average, blocks come every 10 minutes, so the Casa node, it will keep up just fine. That is the main reason we preload the Casa nodes with a full up-to-date copy of Bitcoin. We are actively looking for ways to provide a faster chain sync on your Casa node without relying on Casa. One option might be a tool to import blockchain data that you have already verified on a faster machine you own. Feature number 5, node nicknames. The last feature we'd like to mention is the node nickname. We made it easy for you to set the public name of your Lightning node so you can tell the world. This is an optional feature, and you can type anything you want. Do you want a Casa node? Good news. If you're a Casa client, you receive a Casa node as part of your membership. Not a Casa client yet? That's okay. We're taking pre-orders for our third batch. Pre-order one today and it'll ship this December. You can pay with Bitcoin or credit card. All right, and that will close out the article. Like I said, that was a short one, but I think there's some really cool stuff coming to this. And more importantly, it's a set device that is going to inevitably have software and user interface like improvements, you know, in the future. So I've got a dedicated device. Well, whenever it ships here, I've got a dedicated device to run a Lightning node, and I'm hoping to be able to use. I actually have like 3 or 4 Raspberry Pis sitting around that I want to have time to tinker with, but I just don't. I've come to realize more and more that my extra time is, I need to spend it on the important things, and I need to focus on the podcast and the website and the stuff that I'm getting done there. I don't need to busy myself with, you know, basically arbitrary or self-imposed side projects to do. I don't know. I'm spread myself too thin. It's a common theme with me. So I'm really excited to have a device that's just going to put it all in one place, and so that I don't have to set it up and, you know, do a custom install, because inevitably it takes days to get it to work right and make it operable the way you want it to. And it's really great to outsource that to a company like Casa so that I don't have to worry about that headache. And I want to have this as a way to receive payments for an online store. And I think this is a huge, I think a lot of people are going to see this as just another one of those little things that happen and is kind of cool. But I think this is another one of those big things that happen quietly. A change that I think is going to be really important in the future that kind of flies under the radar. I had some feedback from the Laurent MT articles that I read that I was describing too much of the equations and the charts and stuff, and I get that. It was very, very busy with all of that, and that's hard to do And like I said, it doesn't come across very well in audio, but I thought the article itself, like what he was writing, I thought was really important. So I felt inclined to include it anyway, even though I knew it was going to be of a bit of an annoyance, possibly, trying to constantly describe math equations that just, it's hard to listen to a math equation. It's the simple fact of the matter. This is another one of those developments that I think flies under the radar because people see it as something, seemingly just kind of fun and small, and inevitably these first iterations of it are, you know, they're more of a, they're a simpler version of what I think is going to be a trend going forward. But I think this is a huge development, and I don't think this trend is going anywhere. So let me explain myself here. Stop and think about the number of devices that you have or have purchased in the past that are entirely designed around giving you access to the internet simpler and in more places. Smartphone, desktop computers, tablets, modems, routers, any kind of Wi-Fi device or extension, data service, you know, your ISP service from your modem, Wi-Fi hotspots. I mean, just the breadth of devices that even a single person has, devices and services, to keep them constantly connected to the internet is huge. It's become a massive part. It is a non-consequential part of budgets now. Like, you have to know, you have to spend real money on all the devices that make the internet accessible. If you had prefaced the internet when there still wasn't much there with the cost and the amount of hardware it was going to be required to make a greater use of the internet, if you had prefaced that at the beginning of the internet, people would have thought you were insane. Say it's like, oh, well, yeah, there's this really cool new thing. It's like, well, what can you do with it? It's not a whole lot right now, but it's gonna be friggin' huge. And you just have to buy a modem and a router, and you have to buy this like a few $1,000 like giant machine to sit in your house. And you have to have a different TV, a TV entirely for this device. You're gonna have to buy a $1,000 device that you carry around with you. Like, they would think like no one would ever adopt such a thing if there was that big of a barrier to entry. And I think we're going to see, I think the financial incentive, because OPSEC, because computer security is so crappy, and it was such a second thought for the entire development of the internet's history, and only in the last, God, it's really hard to say because it's been a slow creeping increase, mostly started with the cypherpunks of, holy crap, we've got to encrypt this stuff, we've got to secure these connections, what the hell is this backdoor doing in both my hardware and my software? You know, like, the that realization is a slow growth process. But honestly, really in the last decade, only ever since Bitcoin have I felt there was a huge push towards fixing this problem. And the financial incentive that Bitcoin and the crypto economy introduces makes that tenfold more important. And that's more important than the hardware we purchase to access and make good use of the internet. So when our financial lives are secured by cryptography, I think we are going to add another quote-unquote router to them. I mean, they even called this, like your home router, the Casa node will be rebooting for you. And I think we are going to have that. I think we're going to have a device that keeps us connected to payment networks and keeps our keys secured, that is open source at both the hardware and firmware level, that is the only thing that can be trusted with keys. Because we can't change all the other infrastructure, but we can put another layer on top that is safe from that other infrastructure that is so riddled with security holes and bugs and problems, where everything is about just the service working and being operational rather than it being safe, secure, and private. I think we flipped this whole thing on its head, and now we are starting from, all right, how do we build safe, secure, and private? And then we will figure out how to put services back on top of it. And so I think that incentive structure has reversed. Rather than trying to get, we already know how to do applications and build the services and make all that stuff work. Now we, to implement Bitcoin, to make use of this new technology, we have to achieve the safety, the security, and the privacy, and then we will figure out how to get applications and services on top of this later, because that's not the concern, and that's not the challenge right now. So I think this, the Casa node, is a step in realizing that this is inevitable. I think we are going to have devices that are all about, at their most fundamental element, security, privacy, and sovereignty, is self-verification, because finance just won't work on the internet without that. There will always be people who, you know, accept the trade-off, but I think trusted institutions are breaking down, and I think we're seeing it across the board. I think our cultural division is a consequence of this. I think all of it is a consequence of unsound money and a bad financial system. That's caused educational pricing to get out of control, healthcare to get out of control. All the incentives are on its head. Everything is about get whatever I can now, and nobody thinks 10 seconds about the future. It's all high time preference. And if you have not read The Bitcoin Standard by Saifedean Ammous, you must read The Bitcoin Standard. His section, everything I've read about time preference, I still to this day don't think anything quite hits the mark on just how important that is and what the consequences are of that with money. I've read stuff by Mises, Rothbard. They all do an excellent job, but the reach of the consequences, it does not, nothing escapes from its touch. When you create unsound money that destroys and creates high time preference for society, which is the antithesis of society, low time preference is how society is built. That is what the foundation of civilization is. It is a money that creates low time preference. And Saifedean does an excellent job of laying out the time preference argument and what it means for culture and traditions and how people grow up, because people are a product of their environments. You put people in a high violence environment, they are violent people. You put people in a high time preference environment, they have high time preferences. Like, people are a product of their environments. So if you create unsound money, it has cultural implications, it has artistic implications, it has business and economic implications. Everything is touched by it. And when all that starts falling apart, people will lose trust in things that they never even thought they were trusting. It's like asking a fish, is it wet, when you talk to anybody about money. They don't realize, it's not even a question in their mind. They don't even think about the fact that the money wouldn't be worth something. It is the foundation of worth. The mainstream, the average person, doesn't spend 2 seconds thinking about what money is through the vast majority of their life. And I think that is going to change when they realize that everything is based on trust. And when that trust is lost, everybody's not going to just revert back to the same old behavior and assumptions. As soon as a fish knows that it's in an ocean and there's land, that perspective doesn't go back the other direction. Once they realize that they're wet, the gig is up. And I think when that happens, I hope there will be a huge push towards self-sovereignty and not trusting each other. Because that's what I think we need is we are blindly trusting people that should not be trusted. That is a huge problem in our society today, is just obedience. And I hope that there will be some good out of the economic crisis that has been doubled down on and is yet again on the horizon, waiting to be triggered. And when that happens, I hope that Bitcoin and the crypto economy will be sitting there as a way to restore trust. Or not restore trust, but restore the economy without needing the trust. A way to verify for themselves where people are like, okay, I'm not going to put this money with somebody else because I realize that it might just not be there one day. And you will have things like the Casa node. You will have your Bitcoin router. You will have, or your Lightning router, I guess, is probably more akin to what we'll see, that protects your keys and makes the process simple and secure from step one, that starts at the foundation and gets it right. And then we put everything on top of it to rebuild our applications and rebuild the ease of use. And maybe this is step one, you know? Anyway, that's a hell of a rant. I'm excited about my Casa node. That was the point of this episode. And I'm totally shilling for Casa here. If you want to buy, I don't work for Casa because they won't hire me. But if you are interested in getting your Lightning node and want an easy plug and play, set one up, ready to go easy user interface option out there, I think this is the way to go. At least this is the way I'm going. And I will be eager to talk about my experiences with it on the podcast. Maybe I'll do a write-up or something, or just have a episode where I just sit and rant for an hour about my experiences with Lightning. But either way, I will drop the store.casa link in the podcast if you wanted to get your Casa Lightning node. And obviously, I will link to the article, drop some applause, and definitely follow Casa Hodl if you are not. They are an awesome company that I'm really excited about. Still very young in this space, but I think they have a very, very bright future, and they have the right mindset. I think they have the right perspective to build stuff that lasts for a long time in the future. And that is what excites me more than anything else. And we will be keeping a close eye on them in the future. All right, guys, don't forget to follow me at The Crypto Economy on Medium, Twitter, and Mastodon. If you want the link to the Mastodon, you can find that in my Twitter handle, and my Twitter profile. And subscribe to the show on iTunes and share it with all of your friends in the crypto economy space. And if you would like to support the show, you can always donate to my Bitcoin address. That is hugely, hugely appreciated. And the show survives on your donations. And I it really means a lot to know that people are getting value out of this. So, and of course, you can also get your Trezor hardware wallet to go with your Casa Lightning node. And you can get it through my affiliate link, and it'll send a couple bucks my way without costing you a dime. And hopefully Casa will have an affiliate program in the future that I can join. But with that, thank you guys so much for listening. This has been the Crypto Economy Podcast. I will catch you all tomorrow. Take it easy, guys.